And welcome to the November 2020 newsletter. I'm Hayden Bearden, a first-year MFA in theater design here at Texas Tech. And as we get ready to wrap up the fall semester, I decided to sit down and chat with Mallory Pruka about the challenging season that was our fall 2020 online season here at Texas Tech. Mallory Pruka is an assistant professor of costume design for the School of Theater and Dance and also serves as the head of design and technology. She has been at every single production meeting this semester and shared some wonderful insights for us about the new online theater format. Without further ado, let's jump right in. We are about halfway through the 2020 to 2021 online season. How has it gone so far?
Challenging would be an understatement, most definitely. None of us are professional Zoom theater practitioners, so not only has it been a challenge for the students to sort of learn a new medium as well as employ the skill sets that they're learning in their classes, but it's also been sort of difficult on the production end of trying to figure out exactly how we do theater within a socially distant context or a no-contact context and preserve the artistic value.
On that line, what were some of the biggest challenges of having this online season?
From an administrative end, originally when we were planning the season and we saw the onslaught of the pandemic hitting, we had thought about holding sort of a limited engagement or a face-to-face type of theater that involves social distancing and mask wearing. However, with the increasing in numbers, the lack of safety, the sort of changing protocol, as well as just the overall concern for student safety, we made the decision to put the whole season online. And that decision wasn't made until the very beginning of the school year. And so partly because it took us coming back and coming together to be able to fully flesh out those conversations. So one of the biggest sort of hurdles was trying to figure out in a relatively short amount of time how to execute a season all online, scrape together whatever equipment needs were necessary, also adjusting how students are mentored or how the relationship of the design team to the project is going to sculpt, shift, and change. And likewise, at the same time, doing the good due diligence of research in terms of what's contemporary practice around Zoom theater. What are the new creative ideas? How can we expand both the student experiential learning component by encouraging them to not just seize this Hollywood Square format, but sort of break the format by bringing their own aesthetic values? So from an administrative end, that's been one of the biggest challenges. I think that from an actual execution standpoint, it's very much the same with any new creative venture, is that there are lots of bumps in terms of orchestrating the logistics for how something functions. And the season has definitely made some drastic improvements in terms of how we run the process, how we do things most effectively. And that's definitely helped in terms of then allowing for more creative expression. But having sort of to exist in this very sort of liquid format of learning, applying, adjusting, sometimes pivoting has been definitely sort of draining. And likewise, it's been really difficult to be without the human engagement component that all of us love as theater makers, without actually being in the room with someone. So, and I know that it's broadly expressed by most of the student population that the thing that they're missing the most is that sort of tangible, actual liveness that not just the theater presentation brings, but the actual conversation brings with it.
One thing I'm curious about is, do you foresee us bringing anything from this period into our shows in a post-COVID world?
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that, of course, you're in my collaboration class, so this will sound very familiar to you. Is I am encouraging all of us to take an introspective moment to look at what art making practice has been, what kind of ideas we celebrate, who we're inviting to the table, and what the ideas of true diversity, inclusivity, and a contemporary narrative mean. And so this moment for us all gives us a sense of pause, of introspection, And from the sort of epistemic standpoint of making theater, it is causing us to be very reflective in how we're doing this thing and really why. Now, as we move into what productions will look like in the future, I feel like there are lots of theater makers sitting around really super hungry, wanting to make work. So we're going to see an instant sort of infusion of creativity and sort of pent up energy that's been sort of simmering as we all sit in quarantine. In terms of just like the aesthetic of theater, I'm not exactly sure. There's, you know, just in terms of where theater was before all of the COVID hit, there was this sort of lean on film and new media. And I feel that that will still be a large part of our conversation, even in a live sense, because we now experience each other virtually for so long, that there'll still be that importance of using technology as a storytelling medium, using the effects, or using even just the proximity of oneself to an audience to sort of play with. So I really feel like this time, though it feels very heavy, it's also one of huge hope and promise. And it's one that we all have this moment to really begin paving the way for what this new theater looks like. And so it is a little depressing, you know, for some, and it gets, but there's long days and there's lots of grueling online work, that it's really one of the most exciting times for art making.
Shows during this time are asking theater makers to really bridge the gap between theater and film. How has that changed the design process?
I think that in terms of design process, it's demanded more work in the room, even though the room is not real, in terms of having to be there as a designer or a design team to be responsive to the changing variables, which again, in terms of film, you've got crews on set dealing with multiple takes, dealing with that sort of asynchronous process. And so in some respects, for theater designers or those that work traditionally in theatrical mode, I think it's an excellent exercise in terms of thinking on your feet, being responsive, troubleshooting when there's many things out of one's control. And in fact, it's we don't have a television studio, so we're not fully equipped with all of the live editing software or the ability to do a delayed feed. However, we're having to sort of jimmy-rig things together. And so I think that preserves something that is part and parcel to all designers who are the most successful, which is that ability to sort of, I call it MacGyverism, you know, piecing things together in a way that make it work for the situation. However, the pacing is much different. Likewise, I think that it places a different type of focus on the conversation. However, as a professional designer, most of the interaction that I have with my creative team members tends to look exactly like until I'm in a space. So it feels like a constant sort of a lengthening of this front ending or this conversational period, which is, I think, beneficial for the art form because it means that we can have those meaningful types of conversations together.
As we move into the latter half of TTU's online season, what differences do you think we'll see in the production designs or the production process?
I think that we'll see similar products as to what we have this semester, which is each production in some way informs the next in terms of what are the possibilities, how the interaction of the actor to the narrative and then to the audience. So that will, you know, create a sense of, you know, here's the conventional relationship that we have to this art form. And the thing with conventions or the way that we design worlds is we tend to try to add new pieces. So I think that sort of artistry is going to expand even further, especially because we've had that period to really play and experiment and sort of test ideas. So I think that the next phase becomes testing even more ideas that are maybe a little bit more difficult or a little bit more sophisticated in some ways. Other things that I see changing are that after having practiced this particular style of presentation many times now, we're of course going to have a better sort of order of operations in terms of what does the process look like. There's some more tangibles, which is both a good thing for a process, but also sometimes I see it as being a possible impairment. Because once you get too comfortable and sort of settled in, there is that tendency for autopiloting. So it should be interesting to see what happens when things feel a little bit more settled.
How has your perspective on online theater changed over the course of this semester?
I think that it's, prior to this semester, it would have been, I've always been a fan of going to like the Met broadcasts or any of the Shakespeare Theater Company broadcasts, or being able to be exposed to tape recorded medium, because of course we're in Lubbock, Texas, and it costs money to go to these places to see live performances. Something that I think that's really exciting is that I've been able to sit at home and actually experience the work of others, other institutions. So not just that grand scale recorded production work, but I've been able to be part of the test audience for other Zoom experiments. And to me, that's really exciting because it gives me insight in terms of what are other people thinking about, what sort of artistic elements are they doing, how is the whole aesthetic sort of changing with the Zoom medium. So it, overall, I think that, you know, it for me in many respects is awe-inspiring because it demonstrates that despite this language that's always toppled on top of our industry, which is it's dying, it's going to go away, there's no purpose for it in contemporized theater, I love that it's still finding a place that though we're hurting in the real physicalized theater, when we're hurting for work, we still find these moments of catharsis to come together, to tell these stories, to share and exchange. And it's just as powerful. It's just a little different.
Like, that's really interesting to think about because it's like, even though our industry for all intents and purposes is more or less shut down, it's still having this effect of bringing theater practitioners together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the last about week and a half, I saw a production by Whitesnake Productions, which is primarily BIPOC artists in the opera world, putting on an opera presentation of Alice in Wonderland. And it was this wonderful sort of Zoom hybrid of animation with live singing. And it was, you know, for that being a professional work, I loved seeing that they were still struggling with many of the same things that we are in terms of how do you piece together these frames to tell a story? What kinds of other elements do you bring in to help enhance that narrative? And then how do you deal with just the live logistics and mechanics of trying to use different internet speeds on different devices with unsimilar cameras and unpredictable lighting situations and dogs barking in the background? I also saw MIT's presentation of Fefu and her friends, and they generated all of the work through this video game interface. And again, it was still similar sort of struggles. To me as a theater maker, that's very exciting because it's nice to know that we're not all alone. And so that sense of community is still not just in terms of us being able to connect with each other online, but even within the work and the creation of the work is still very alive. And I think that heartbeat is still very strong. So when we get outside and can actually frolic and make theater, it'll be lovely to see, you know, how that sort of blossoms.
This has been Mallory Pruka from TTU's School of Theater and Dance.
I hope was it helpful? I tried to sound official, so